Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have Perth-based comedians Sian Choice and Hayden Douglas. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So we'll start off. Sian, would you like to tell us a little bit about your comedy journey? When did you start? How did you get here in Perth? Because I know you're not originally from here.
So. No, I'm not. We've had a little bit of a chat previously about this. A lovely little article. I came over here from Adelaide. I actually started comedy over here in Perth. I've never done any comedy in Adelaide. I've never even been back to do comedy. That's...
Oh, wow. Not even Fringe.
No. Just
that amazes me.
Yeah. I don't have a spare $5,000 to throw away.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, not that it wouldn't be a fun $5,000 to throw away, I'm sure, but just not
Adelaide, Edinburgh, you know.
Yeah. It's basically, Edinburgh is more than $5,000, but I think if you want to do Adelaide at least well enough that you're not completely lost in a sea of, like, Fringe World here gets a bit hectic enough trying to stand out in the amount of shows that you've got. But yes, I came over here from Adelaide just kind of on a holiday and ended up staying because Perth's really nice. I like it here.
Oh, we love you as well.
Oh, stop it. And
I'm indifferent. Just so you know.
Can we mute that mic? Is that something that can happen earlier? I've been doing comedy for about, 8 years or so, probably nearly 9 years now. I don't know that there's that much exciting stuff. I do gigs around the place. I sort of go to the East Coast when we used to be allowed to do that.
Back in the day.
In the day. Oh, memories. sitting on a fart tube full of people in the sky. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's what made you start comedy? I know that we have spoken about before, but for the audience, what enticed you to get up and have a go?
It was almost like a bucket listy type thing. It was probably the worst first gig that you could possibly imagine. Typical kind of, I don't know, just arrogance of going like, looks easy. I'm sure this audience full of, five comedians, two people that have paid and the two people that I brought with me are really going to love this stream of consciousness, like nonsense about nothing. They did not. I worked that up very quickly after I got off stage. I think the one laugh I got was about 3/4 of the way through where I just kind of went, oh, I don't know what you people want then. And that was like the only moment of truth that everyone kind of went, oh, good, she knows how bad this is going. Like, oh, thank God. Like my friend sort of like afterwards was like, oh, at least you got up. Like, no, don't do that to me. Yeah, that's the worst thing you can say to any kind of performer. It's like, oh, look at you doing a thing on a stage. Like,
good on you for giving it a go.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, don't. We both know what just happened here. Like, don't do that to me.
What about yourself, Hayden?
I played in bands for years. And the thing about bands is you have to manage 5 dickheads. And that becomes overwhelming. And with comedy, there's only 1 dickhead and that's me. And that's a hard enough thing. So
it's basically 5 dickheads.
wrapped into one, But I won't get into the whole story, but I got involved in something really hectic a few years ago and I had a nervous breakdown. And the day after I got out of the Funny Farm, because I went through a long thing there, I went and saw Steve Hughes perform.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting up the back and at that time my social anxiety and everything, I was completely fucked. I had to turn someone in for murder. Very, it'll make a good book one day, I'll put it that way. And I fell apart and I went and saw Steve Hughes and I thought, you know what, I can't even go into a shopping centre at the moment, but I want to do that. And then a couple of years later, when I got my shit together, I signed up at Shapiro's open mic in Perth, and which Sian was running at the time. And I had a perfect first gig, unlike Sian's. I got in there. My gig went okay. You know, it was half the room was my friends. Shapiro's is the easiest room for a performer in the city. So you always feel good coming off because it always kind of goes well.
Yeah.
Apart from any NY Events gig, of course, because they are all amazing.
Yeah, of course. I'm talking back in the day. I mean, this is old shit.
This is before you guys, and Nicole got out there and revolutionized everything.
This is 7 years ago, the dark ages. But my set went okay. I walked in and sat down to watch the rest of the show, and a comedian, a female comedian back in the day, she, I'm trying to avoid names because I don't want any, yeah. Bit of an interesting.
I think it's nice you called her a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying not to. Anyway, young lady was on stage, not having a good time. And it got, the guy I had to sit next to was heckling her, and I'm trying to shut him up. And she looks at me and says, "Weren't you just on stage?" And I went, "Yeah." She's like, "Why the fuck are you heckling me?" And I went, "I'm not. It's this guy. I'm trying to shut him down." She's going back and forth, storms off the stage and walks out the back to complain to the venue manager.
Hey.
Sean. And then I've run out there because I'm mortified. It's my first ever gig, and Sean and the other lady are not looking impressed. And that's how I met Sean, and that was my first gig.
Oh, wow. Oh, sorry. Said other comedians still around then or no?
No, not, not here. Not in Perth.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yep, go on.
Causing dramas elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alongside losing all our good acts to the East Coast, we fortunately lose some like terrible ones as well. So that's, it's good. Yeah. Like, we don't just lose the good ones.
So you guys, did you hit it off on that night as friends or did it take some time to develop a friendship here?
No, I was terrified of Sean for years and I still am to some degree. You know, I think that's just healthy in the interest of self-preservation.
I don't even know what to say. That.
What do you find terrifying about Sean? This could be good.
I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe this is going on record. This is so good. Yeah. Well, what do you find terrifying about
Hayden?
I mean, you know, I don't know where to start. I mean, the mere fact that I'm so terrified trying to think of things says a lot. I think it's just I'm terrified that someone could be so charming and talented.
Oh,
and
fucked.
And, you know, it's just really intimidating being around such brilliance. And I think that's what really bothers me.
Oh, my God.
That's actually beautifully said, Sean.
Yeah, you know how hard he is lying through his teeth right now.
I thought you were gonna, you know how hard he is.
Well, I didn't. Like, it sounded really good. So.
Hang on. He's up early. Not in today's climate, Jesus Christ.
All right. So, so you started because it was kind of a bucket list, and you started because you had left therapy. And that's pretty huge, actually, getting up on in front of a crowd when you said you had a bit of social anxiety, was it?
I had a complete nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
So, and then got diagnosed with bipolar, and then dealing with trying to turn someone in, like turning one of your friends in for murder.
That clearly, is massive, Hayden.
Well, clearly you have to. I mean, you're sort of left in a situation like that, but it's a very, I don't really want to derail the podcast with that story. I'm quite happy.
You can talk about anything.
I don't mind. Sorry. I just don't. It's, yeah. I just don't want to like
no, you can
derail it,
like,
but it's you know, very hectic sort of situation.
Mm.
And I'd always been the weird kid that kind of was making people laugh. And I think like everybody, it was just born out of insecurity where, okay, if I shit on myself first, I beat you to it. Everyone's on my side and then I can shit on you when you're mean to me.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's like that childhood coping mechanism. And then you realize, huh, maybe I can do this on stage.
Yeah.
And having been on stage, you know, in plays and bands and stuff, I don't know, it just kind of made sense.
So had you previously been involved in bands up until that point? And then,
I was always in plays and did debating and all that sort of stuff at school. Just all the stuff that ladies love, you know. Everyone loves the guy on the debating team. I was in the signing choir. That's how much of a player I was at school.
Wow.
Do you
like Napoleon Dynamite, that was me. I had the short shorts.
How does a signing choir work? Like are you signing along to music? Because that seems pointless.
It is, but you're kind of trying to express through sign and dance the emotions of the song.
But they can't hear the music, right?
Yeah, that's how being deaf works. Yeah.
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 But that's what it.
But look,
I'm not.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to rip on. I was just going to say I'm not trying to rip on any deaf people out there, but I don't know that they're going to hear this.
Yeah.
no.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I at the time was like, this is pointless, but I learned how to sign Human Nature songs, and that's a life skill.
That's true.
Yeah.
Why have you never seen? Why have I never seen that on a comedy stage?
That would
needs
be amazing.
Needs to happen.
What do you mean?
Why have like
a signing?
I've seen you perform on a comedy stage numerous times. I've never seen you sign a Human Nature song. Why is that not your closer?
I'm not a good writer.
We need to talk to Johnny. And instead of having Sweet Caroline close the show, it
people
needs to be...
get ready.
He's actually signing that as he's singing.
I can't remember all the words though, so it'll be like train coming, you don't need baggage on board. Like, I'm going to miss words. It's been a while. So
I'm sure we could get you well practiced.
Okay? I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we could crowdfund an Auslan course for you.
It would be nice.
It was pretty epic. It's a very niche thing there.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I did want to study that actually, that when I was working with kids with special needs, that's one of the things that I wanted to get into, but it's incredibly difficult. It basically, to get officially certified as an Auslan interpreter almost takes the same time as a bachelor's degree, but you only end up with a diploma.
Yeah.
Mm. It's fucked because I would love to, you know, it's a great skill to have and... Mm. But
do you have to be like certified to like interpret an event? You know what I mean? Like if there was like a community event, could you just like hop up on the stage and be like, I'm just going to sign away?
Like that guy on the news that just told him he was an interpreter and just was doing nonsense. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think missed
was it in America?
I think so.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm a sign language interpreter and just got up and.
And just did something.
Just something, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty funny. Well, not funny for the deaf community. Yeah. It's not funny for you. But
that's all right. They're not going to hear you.
Just awkward now. Sorry. Brutal. Sorry.
It's all right. I'll take the heat on that one. I'm coughing enough heat lately anyway.
What has been the biggest bomb or learning curve in your comedy career? Hayden, do you want to start with that one?
Oh, the biggest, like as in terrible show?
Yeah, if it's a bomb or a learning curve where you've grown from it.
I think there's so many.
Mm.
you know, like if anyone's... Shut up, you.
I'm sorry, just you're know, like, oh, there's so many. How can I choose my favourite bomb? There's so many to choose from.
But I feel like if you're not taking... If you're just going up and playing it safe every time, you never bomb. The people that run the same 5 minutes for years, I don't understand. So I would always try new stuff, and a lot of the time it doesn't work. And I think the biggest shock for me was I'd done pretty well, and then I went to Melbourne, and I did a show in a room the venue was the size of three double beds.
Yeah.
And my dad was one of the people, he's never seen me before, and he's sitting 3 feet away like you are, and it's not going well. And
just that awkward feeling of sitting in a double bed with your dad.
Yeah, and it brings back too many memories for me.
Yeah.
And dad's just looking at me, and as it's going worse, he's got his head in his hands, and he's just looking and shaking his head in embarrassment, and I'm just continuing to do my act with my father, just visibly ashamed of me. And a friend from school came to see that. Another friend came, like it was awful. I was standing upstairs having a cigarette that night, and I'm like, I'm glad there's bars up here because I might jump off. It was just, but you realize like, oh, it, for me it was, oh, I'm just too dirty and they, you know, they just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a girl got up after me and was completely filthy and crushed it. And I went, oh, I'm just not good. And that's what it was.
Wow. Mm. How long into your... comedy.
18 months maybe.
Oh yeah, it's still very new then.
We kind of start to get a little bit of like, oh, I think I understand this. And
yeah,
then
that's probably the first wave of, oh, I think I'm getting this. And then realizing you have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
That happens at least 4 or 5 more times over the next few years.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm finally, oh no, no, I'm not. No, I'm not at all.
Yeah, I'm 7 years in and I think I'm at the point where I know enough of what I don't know. But that's probably about it.
Yeah, well, there's a huge Dunning-Kruger effect with comedy. Like that whole, you think you're an expert when you actually know nothing, and then it's only slowly as you realize how little you know that you're like,
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Huge old bell curve.
Yeah, and then you level up again.
Yeah. And that's like quite a slow process normally. And the thing with comedy is it doesn't matter how many years you've been doing it because you're constantly having to try new material and work new material, there's always a level of like, you never kind of get to a point and go like, oh, well, it's never going to be difficult again, or I'm never going to feel clunky again, because you kind of need to work out stuff sometimes. Like, don't get me wrong, there's people out there that are amazing, and the first time they get up and say a new bit, you're like, that could be a Netflix special, like straight up. Like, you know, 10, 20 year kind of veterans. They're like, when I was running Shapiro's, there was an act. He doesn't live in Perth anymore, but he always used to not like get mad but or upset or anything like that, but he'd always be like, oh, I'm just doing new stuff tonight. Like, do you have to put me on last? I'm like, yeah, the thing is, man, is your stuff that's never been heard by an audience before is going to be 10 times better than stuff that a lot of these people have been running for the last 6 months. Like, yeah, and that's that's not like necessarily shitting on everyone else that was running new material. It's just the fact that these people are 18 months to 2 years in versus someone who's 10 years in and it's their new material. But like, they kind of feel like, oh, well, I'm closing the show. I don't want to not be doing, you know, great stuff. But it's like, yeah, this crowd's paid $5. They know they're coming to see an open mic show. And yeah, your stuff is gonna
still crushing, and it's sometimes his delivery, isn't it? And that person's persona 100% comes out. And
it's it's just that feeling comfortable on stage. Like that takes years. Well, not years for everybody. Like some people sort of
that was the first thing I got
on stage.
I was comfortable on stage straight away.
Oh yeah, having like
been on stage hundreds of times. Yeah. Like that part for me was the easy part, but that seems to be the hard part for most people.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think, sorry, I'm just kind of weirdly crossing a question.
Go on.
Do you think that like fronting a band, because sometimes comedy, like if the person's almost like too confident or too aggressive.
Oh yeah, it does. I was too rock and roll at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that with acts before, like an audience just kind of goes like, whoa.
Yeah,
this is intense. Like,
yeah, it was for sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, like someone, you know, and you can have high energy acts and stuff like that, but they just have to be good enough at getting the audience on board quickly. Like someone like Andrew Wolf, is obviously like very, you know, comes out literally like to a crowd, like,
but likable. He doesn't 100% not threatening or 100%. You know, yeah. Like, and I think that's why
his opening line, his opening line, very much like covers that.
Yeah.
He's the guy you want someone to bring to your party.
Yeah.
But you also want someone to make he leaves at 2 a.m. before he gets too wolfy.
Before he wolfies out.
Yeah, I look at my watch and I'm like, oh, that's, I see where Wolfie's going. And shout out to Wolfie. I love that guy.
Yeah, I love him good too.
He's funny.
He's a good guy.
The thing, I guess the thing I notice between playing music and playing comedy, being a comedian, is that if you go and watch Ed Sheeran, you're there to see Ed Sheeran.
Mm.
If you go to a comedy night, you're there to see quote-unquote comedy.
Yeah.
So if you put it in musical terms, you might on the one lineup, you might have Ed Sheeran, Aretha Franklin, Napalm Death, Slayer, Cardi B. You know what I mean? It's like if you put it in a musical landscape, you've just, hey, here's a smorgasbord of everyone who's completely different. The thing I like about comedy is if Metallica gets up and plays to Ed Sheeran fans, they're not going to like it. That's not on them. They've played their songs perfectly. If I get up and there's a bunch of 20-year-old bogans, they're going to love me.
Yeah.
And as much as I hate that, it's just the case. If I get up and there's a bunch of 60-year-old ladies and they love me, I've done well. But if they don't love me, I've fucked it up regardless of who's in the audience. I think that's what's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you?
It is very subjective, but I agree with you there. So.
Yeah, I think there's definitely truth to that. Like, because you should be able to adapt in some form. Like even if, you know, you're, like you said, your material is probably not catered for like 60-year-old women, but you can probably, you know.
Maybe, I can make it work.
Yeah, you can do enough to, you know, comment on that and, you know, haha, like, oh, you get ladies are going to love this next one. You know, like those kind of, once you're comfortable enough on stage and you're not even comfortable because like you said, you kind of came in quite comfortable, but just experienced enough with a crowd reacting a certain way to something that, you know, the first 10 times they react that way, oh, that's unexpected and you're not sure what to do with it. Then after you've done that joke 100 times and you know that potentially that reaction's coming, you might have 20 lines in the bank that you can go go with, you know what I mean? And make it seem like, oh, that's just off the cuff. I've just thought of that now.
I think it starts off with comedy. You start off as like it's like a children's book, and then it turns into a choose your own adventure, but there's only one path. And then you get to a point where you've got multiple paths you can go with all of these bits depending on how they've taken it.
What about, Sean, yourself, a major bomb or a learning curve that you'd like to share?
The gig itself was amazing. It was, I opened for like one of my biggest comedy influences, and the gig itself was great, and hanging out with like the other act that opened that night as well, and like his manager and a few other people sort of in the green room afterwards, and my mum had come to the show, and
I've heard this story, so
unlike Hayden's father, my mum was very proud. She's very proud, very drunk. She's very supportive. Like, I love my mum a lot. Like, I'm not, this isn't just.
Your mum's awesome.
She's a great. I love you just getting in on the record there as well. Yeah. Just like, she's lovely.
Maggie Nicol, fantastic. Vote Maggie.
Oh, but she, so she called me after the show. She's like, oh, where are you? Like, she was downstairs sort of at the back of the theatre. And so I said to, it was Doug Stanhope I was opening for. So I said to Doug and his manager, Brian, I was like, oh, my mom's downstairs. Like, do you mind if she comes up? He's like, no, that's fine. And Doug's girlfriend, Bingo, was also in the room. And I've gone downstairs to get my mom. And the second I've seen her, I've just gone, oh, this is a terrible idea. This is a terrible idea. She's way too drunk for this interaction to happen. Like, just every part of this is gonna be fucked. Like, so I was already just trying to like herd her into like just not being. How do you can't be mad at someone for like being proud of you either. Like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. But it's also like just made me regress to like feeling like a 14-year-old child and just going, what are you doing, Mom? Why have you pulled up right in front of the school in your pajamas to pick me up this afternoon? What are you doing? Like that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So she's entered this room full of people who are fairly chilled out at this point. the act that I'd opened with that night, Ben Sutton, a good friend of mine, also knows my mum very well.
Yeah.
And yeah, had seen her as well and just kind of gone, oh no, like had exactly the same reaction that I did. There was a drum kit in this room backstage and like Doug just kind of off the cuff was like, oh, it's a drum kit. Like anyone want to play drums? Like, and my mum's like, I'll play drums. And my mum has no natural sense of rhythm whatsoever, has never played an instrument, I don't think, in her life, besides like maybe year two recorder, like, and just, very much sat there like a drunk middle-aged white woman on a set of drums in front of my comedy aisle. There is actually a photo of this at the time, and Doug Stanhope is standing there with like a glass of scotch. My mum is on this drum kit. And you can just see me in the corner, like trying to pack my shit into my bag so fucking quickly that I can just forget this night is even happening. We like got all our stuff. We're like, okay, just get downstairs, get out of here. I've like gotten to the bottom of these stairs, realized that my mom is still like lagging behind. I was like, oh my God, got to the top of the stairs. And his Australian tour manager was there. And I was like, is mum in there? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, is she with Doug? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, do I want to know? And he's like, no, probably not. And I've just like stuck my head around the corner. And my mum basically has like Doug in like this headlock hug. Just going like, no, but you don't understand. Like, she loves you. She loves you so much. She just thinks you're the best. She just, no, but it just means so much to her. And I was just like, oh my God, like I want to die. Like I want to die so bad. I had no idea what the fuck to do. And I was just like, what do I do? And then we went to like this bar around the corner because Doug was like, oh, we'll go get a, like, let's go get a drink.
Yeah.
And so it was like me, by this age, everyone else had sort of like left. It was just me, Ben, the other act that had opened, my mum and Doug. So we went to this just like little, I think it was like maybe the hotel lobby bar of like where he was staying. And my mum, like, I don't know why, I don't know how it came up in fucking conversation, but my mum felt the need to like bring up to Doug that I didn't want kids. So we're sitting there and she's like, can you believe that she doesn't want, can you believe it? She doesn't want kids. And he just like deadpan as he is, he just like, he just looks at her, he's like, oh no, she's wicked anal, you can see it in her face. And I've just lost it. And like my mum's just kind of like not really known how to like, is he joking, like what the fuck, like and I just kind of, I'd been trying for like an hour to quietly sort of say to mum, hey, like fucking bring it down a level.
Yeah.
Like, basically. And Ben had also seen like how much it was like kind of had me on edge, like with mum being like that. So then he tried to sort of say something and she took that really badly because it was like, who do you think you are to try and like moderate my behavior? Like, and so she sort of like stormed off to the toilet and I was just sitting there just going, this is like the best and worst night of my life. And then like Doug like got up, he's like, you guys want a drink? And I was like, yeah. And he just like came back over from the bar with, I think he got us like old fashions, came back just as he put it down on the table, he's like, put his hand on my shoulder, he's like, don't worry, I can see how you're feeling, I had the same mom. And I was just like, oh thank fuck. Like, oh my god, thank fuck.
Yeah, and then you get this.
I spoke to his Australian tour manager about it like maybe about a week later and he was like, the thing is he didn't hang out with anyone else after shows on that tour. That was like really the only time he hung out after a show, and I'm pretty sure it was just to see
how was gonna
play out. Just to see, like, he's like, this is pretty entertaining, I want to watch I want to watch her squirm while her mum's clearly making her feel like.
To be fair though, if you were him, you'd do the same
thing. 100%. 100%.
Let's keep this rolling.
Yeah. Especially if, and then the funny thing is I opened for him again like a few years later and he doesn't remember the fucking night at all.
He was that drunk.
he does enjoy a tipple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually doesn't remember any of the night at all. So I'm like, oh, cool. I have no need to feel embarrassed then. I also have no no real connection with you at all, but yeah,
maybe,
I have no need
just,
to feel embarrassed.
Maybe he just is super polite. I don't remember Sean.
Yeah, nah. I think if he remembered, he'd be like, oh, yeah, like I remember that.
Oh, that's funny. All right, so who are your biggest influences in comedy or in life as well?
Oh, probably in life, Oprah. Okay. I just feel like she speaks to me.
Jesus.
No, Oprah's bigger than Jesus.
Ooh.
Jesus didn't give a car to anybody, Sean.
I think he probably has.
He maybe built some shit for people, but...
He made people build stuff for him.
He was a carpenter.
That's true.
I like how I've completely derailed this question. I think, honestly... My biggest inspirations, I think, from working with people with special needs and stuff, it's them. Like my mate Tim, he's your classic case of, oh, don't jump in the river, there could be something under the water, you know, that we all hear and you think, ah, there's never anything under the water. He's a tetraplegic and you know, I love him to death. And I think about him when I'm, you know, like when I'm upset or whinging about my life and I'm like, Timmy gets up and does it every day. And I think that at comedy wise, it's people like Steve Hughes, obviously, because that's the reason I started. And then last year I got to, you know, I didn't support him, but just to be on the same bill as him and hang out with him and stuff, it was nice for me to be like, wow, you know, I never thought I'd get to be in the same room and here we are on the same night. But
that's pretty impressive.
That's cool. Yeah, it's not like supporting him. That's a different thing. But for me to just to know Steve now and, you know, he with my last podcast episode, he was on that. It's for me, it's wow, you know.
Mm.
But, yeah, generally speaking, it's yeah, kids with disabilities, oddly, and people with disabilities, because they have such a weird way of thinking about things, and I fucking love that.
Yeah.
Like, one of the funniest things a kid's ever said to me was, he was a year seven kid, and he had autism, very high functioning, and he was in the special needs class, but he was so far, his issue was sort of fitting into the classroom scenario, not the intellect side. He was on point. Mm. And he said, the teacher said, oh, what'd you do on the weekend? And somebody said, I watched the movie It. And she said, oh, I couldn't watch that. And he said, why couldn't you watch that? And she says, oh, if I watched that, I'd be up all night having nightmares. And he says, he had a weird way of talking, which I loved. Well, if you want to stay up all night worrying, why don't you just go to bed thinking about your mortgage?
And I, brutal.
And I just laughed at him because I'm like,
so literal.
But he at, not at 12 understands the concept of a mortgage, yeah, but also how much that factors into the stress of adults. And I, yeah, said, that's really funny, man. You should, you, and I said to him, you say some really clever, funny stuff. You should write that down because you've got the mind to be a comedian. And guys like that, you just think, man, you know, they don't fit into that framework, but if you give them that little bit of leeway, you know, rather than the sit down, face forward, get out, get up at 3 o'clock and leave. I don't know. I think that's why I like them, because I can see they're out of the box and I'm weird and, yeah, messed up too. So,
aren't we all, but?
Yeah.
What about yourself, Sean?
Well, firstly, fuck you for giving such a like nice, genuine answer to that now, because I don't have anything nice and inspirational.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
How dare you be a good person?
Oh, I'm not.
Gross.
Do you want me to list my flaws?
We can get into
on
that.
On the record again. comedy-wise, like Doug Stanhope.
You might want to. There we go. The Harley stop.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We were going to do a bit of a. Yeah.
Just had a bikey group gang, like, yeah, just roll up outside.
Yeah.
They've got a problem with the content.
Yeah. They didn't like you being genuine either.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't like it either. I feel sick now.
Doug Stanhope. In terms of, like, female comedians, I really like Ali Wong. Michelle Wolf is quite good. She has a very unique voice. But she's very funny.
Very,
I watched a special recently on Netflix, I think it was, Sam J. That was, mm-hmm, really good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that one, so you recommend that?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely check that out. There's a couple of really good ones that are out on YouTube as well at the moment, because I think COVID really changed the way, obviously, comedy is being delivered to people, because,
yeah,
you know, obviously, normally it's live in front of a crowd, and when you can't gather a crowd full of people, like, we're very, very lucky in Perth that obviously our gigs have restarted and stuff like that. But,
yeah,
you know, there's still, I think places are even, you know, rethinking how they deliver live gigs. There's a lot of like drive-in gigs.
VR.
Yeah.
VR, yeah. There's.
I'm doing a gig in virtual reality.
That's amazing.
And it's so weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I'll mention that later. Yeah.
But yeah, just a lot of comedians are even just putting out their own specials on YouTube now.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, how did you guys transition with the COVID? Because Nicole and I did look at going into Zoom and stuff, and I love live audiences. So for me,
it's a very different.
Really hard to.
It's a very different feeling for, at least especially the performer, like, not having. And I think also for an audience member, because it's such a different thing. You know, the difference between sitting at home on your couch and watching something, if it's just you and maybe your partner, or just, you know, you're sitting there alone, versus when you're in a room full of people who are laughing, you know,
yeah,
like, laughter,
vibe,
laughter's,
yeah,
contagious, you know, it's that kind of, that vibe. And when you're trying to perform, I did an MC'd a Zoom gig while COVID stuff. It was like the sort of the final week of COVID, the Laugh Resort were doing Zoom gigs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was great. Like, they did an amazing job setting it all up, and, you know, the tech side of stuff. And but it was weird, because you don't have that energy in the room. Like, there are still a few people in the room. Like, we had a couple of people that were still on the lineup, and then obviously the techs that are handling all that stuff. So there's probably maybe about 10, or not even 10 people in the room, sort of thing. And then you're looking at the Zoom screen full of like the faces, but
it's not the same, but is it?
Not at all.
It's odd.
Yeah, because you can't really connect with the people, because if you are looking at this, well, I found at least with the way we had it set up, to be looking camera, so to look obviously everyone in the eye, you're not
Looking at them.
Yeah. So you don't really feel like you're connecting with them. It was, it was a fine balance to kind of to walk that line, but.
That's what's weird about, so have you ever tried virtual reality?
I have, but when what we type? Used to, like I'm old, Hayden. So,
you know, so am I.
Yeah. So when we, there used to be one in the city and used to go and pay and do this thing and I can't, it was a long time
ago. Okay. So where it's at now. I showed Sean the other day. They do these virtual reality stand-up shows.
Wow.
It's so hard to describe if you haven't tried it.
Mm.
Because when you put it on, you're on stage. I have a mic on stage, like in real life. People can see my – it's like, you know, Wii bowling, how you sort of have those kind of like
– there's an avatar, is
it? Yeah, like wooden block children toys that are kind of basic. You've got a room full of people that are real people and they're avatars. When they're laughing, you can see their mouths move. You can hear them laughing. Wow. And you get the sensation that you are in a room full of people.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre because saying it sounds completely absurd. And I would say the same thing if I hadn't tried VR. But I showed Sean the other day and just said, check out the comedy club. Yeah. And she said, she was just like, man, this is weird. It's like I'm in a comedy club.
Well, I'm thinking it sounds fascinating and amazing. But it so the audience members, are they other people that are actually streaming with all VR around
the
as world, well?
They've decided to come into the venue and watch the show.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm at the moment I'm working out the tech things because I had a few issues with some of the streaming. But I'm going to put on a show because it costs nothing. I've just got to work out the best time. But – people just turn up. I've signed up for one. There's one called Failed to Render, and that's getting some Comedy Central people and stuff on there. So I'm trying to get on there. But with that, there's three or four rooms that run weekly. It's very hard to get spots at the moment.
Mm.
So I know it sounds so stupid. I was talking to John Pinder, another Perth comic, about it. He's like, yeah, that sounds weird. I'm not really into the Zoom stuff. I said, I totally get that. But when you put the thing on,
it doesn't have that feeling.
You are on a stage in a comedy club full of.
I love that. I think that just shifts you a bit, doesn't it?
Especially with the VR, there's headphones as well. So you're getting like a surround experience. Like when I tried it out, like there was no show going, but I put the headset on and it felt like I was in a comedy club, you know, before the doors had opened. Like I was just looking around, just going like this.
Yeah,
this feels like a club in LA, or just it was crazy.
And you set up like so if this room was empty, I'd trace out the end of it, and I can walk around on stage and use my hands and everything and gesture, and it's so weird because I was the Zoom thing. I'm like, I'm glad that there's that avenue, but it doesn't, you know, it's odd.
The same.
But and seeing this, I thought, that's not going to work. And then I went, this is weird.
And it works.
Yeah, so I'm going to do it, film it and see how it goes. The good thing is if nobody shows up, I just won't tell anyone I did it.
I want to be in part of the audience. I want to see this.
Well, you can stream, because the headset's owned by Facebook, you can stream it directly to Facebook. So the good thing is even though you don't have a headset, you can either see it from my point of view or the crowd's point of view, I think. Mm.
That just sounds incredible.
Yeah, and they just the shows that are on there now, they just say if you want to donate, you can donate, and then whoever's the audience best act gets the money at the end of it.
Yeah, doing it through Venmo.
I like that, yeah.
And
yeah.
The weirdest thing was it's in this thing called Alt Space where you sort of log in and you just, you know, there's a park and you wander around and talk to real people.
Yeah.
I logged in because I thought I want to try this comedy thing. I'll log into the park and see if I can talk to people and see how it works. And I'm standing there listening to this guy, and it's the guy that runs the comedy room.
Wow.
I bumped into him in a virtual park. I'm just like, what? This is so weird. And then he's running me through it, and then he took me, we went to the comedy room, and it's like, what? Because I was chatted to him for, you know,
I'm
10.
Loving this. This is so like, my kids have just been watching a show on Netflix. I cannot for life. I mean, remember what it's called.
Upload?
Yeah, I think so, where they play these games and they live in a virtual world, and then they've got caravan on top of caravan and, you know, and they basically are trying to solve this thing, but they're so disconnected from real life. But their virtual avatars mean everything, and they meet people in this thing, and then they form relationships and they do all this stuff.
There was
in
a
this
couple hanging
thing.
Out in there when I was there, and I was walking past and I heard this, what do you want to do? And they're like, I just came here to spend time with you. And then the avatars were hugging, and I was like, that's so cute, but lame.
But like a virtual affair.
Yeah. Well, imagine.
Is
yeah.
it not?
Like,
at what point another, are you cheating?
Another like avatar, you like see him running across the park like, how dare you?
And you're sort of clumsily rubbing yeah, up yeah. against each other. You don't really have a lower anything below the belly button in that game. So, I mean, it's kind of PC. Ugh. You can only get so freaky.
Just rub.
Yeah, just high five and rub bump chests. I guess that's about
it. At least you
it.
Can hug. I love hugs. Yeah. Oh no. Okay, that's that is pretty it's fascinating. Weird,
yeah, so I'll let you know how that goes.
I'm super keen to come in on as an audience and just watch. Mm. I hate watching TV, but I'm excited by that because it sounds more.
That's another thing that real. I'll just mention briefly on that topic is they're filming comedy now with that in mind. So there's comedy specials released on there. And I logged in and it sits you right in the middle of the venue. I'm looking at the stage. I look to the right. I can see the audience over there. I look to the left. I can see them over there. And I'm in the middle of the audience watching this. I was watching a lady. I've forgotten her name, but she's performing. And you go, this is so weird. I
mean, they've 360 filmed it yeah. from the, yeah.
So and then they kind of give you your own little skybox in the middle.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So you're sitting in this little VIP area kind of thing and you see the audience over there laughing and, yeah, it's gonna. I think COVID has sort of oddly opened up this. Hey, you know, you realize the technology is almost there for this new sci-fi world that we've all. You're like your kids watching that show.
Yeah.
Terrifyingly, we're not far away from that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So be afraid is my message to everybody, and buy a VR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should start getting commission.
I should.
Yeah.
Everyone's like says, "How much is this? I want one." So I need to get some sort of kickback.
You said that's through Facebook. I've got one through PlayStation, but
yeah, this one's
different.
Same. So you've the PlayStation VR headset. Yeah. It's the same thing, but it's not connected to anything. So in theory, you can set it up on a basketball court and run around.
Oh my god! Mm. Okay.
Anyway, Oculus, Oculus.com through Facebook. Thank you, Zuckerberg.
Okay. Sorry. If you guys could be a character in a book or a TV show, who would it be and why?
Mine's gone. Cause
it's gone?
Ghostbusters is my favourite movie. And I would
can't be that sex pesty anymore.
I can't be Peter
Venkman
because he's a bit of a sex pest, I've realised in recent times. So probably Wayne from – oh, no, Garth from Wayne's World. He's got a bit
I
of.
I love Wayne's World as well.
Yeah, I think Wayne's World was cool. I like Garth. He's weird. He's got a problem with humanity. He's awkward. Doesn't know how to connect with his fellow man, but he's hilarious and he loves metal. I think he's my spirit animal.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
Probably
Liz Ludgate.
I was literally about to say probably Liz Lemon from 30 Rock. yep.
And it's why? Probably,
I mean, I feel like it would be a pretty awesome thing to have a TV show on network television.
Yep.
But then also I feel like we're probably fairly similar. That's the thing. Like, I'm like, oh, who would you like to be? I'm like, I could aspire to something. Or I could just be a similar person in a better situation.
Yeah.
And I chose that.
That's good, but
high-fiving a million angels.
Working on my night cheese.
What's a pet peeve that you guys have?
Sean.
People.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just saying you go first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thanks. I'm sure you could probably ask people, a lot of different people, the same question and probably get the same answer.
I'm too afraid to ask that about me. I know the answer.
Yeah, I don't really like people that much, like on... I know it seems weird.
Not really, because if you're on stage and you're removed from the people, then
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I've definitely had moments where I've questioned why I do comedy because I'm like, you know what, I don't really think people deserve to be entertained. They don't deserve laughter. Fuck them.
Fuck them. I know.
Fuck them.
I'm high-fiving a million angels with you right now. Yes.
I'm not really sure what to do about that or if I need to do anything about it, but
I think just accept it, Sean.
Yeah.
Just be at
just
peace
lean
with
in,
it.
I think. Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You don't need to change anything. It's okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think if people are on board at this point, then they're on board at this point.
I forgot the question because I'm so mad thinking about people.
What are your pet peeves?
Yeah. I hate people.
I hate unoriginal answers to questions when people have been asked
people
to answer second.
I like I really dislike the lowest level of musical comedy. When I say that as someone that plays musical comedy.
Give us an example of lowest level of musical comedy.
Go on, give us an example.
Yeah.
Meow. So anything involving a ukulele, this is my like weird thing. Like anything involving a ukulele, I can't be on board with. I own a guitar, I can play guitar, get a real guitar.
It's only one more string. You're not that fancy.
I know. You know, it's not, it's two more strings, but thank you. Four on a uke. But we'll get back to the point, shall we?
Did you have one?
I don't know, actually. No.
As a musician, he doesn't like it when people fake it, right?
It's for me, it's parody songs. Weird Al Yankovic's done it. I feel like he's the OG. It's like Michael Jackson with the moonwalk. I don't know. I at the end of the day, my pet peeve in comedy is just there's a lot of backstabbing and there's a lot of ego, and unfortunately it's an industry that attracts that. Mm-hmm. And as horrible as the music industry is, the industry around comedy sucks, and it's just a shame because it's a shame that the business of entertainment behind the scenes can be so dark.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, so are you meaning like in groups or clickiness, or
I mean that's just there's the in groups, there's a clickiness, and there's a cool crowd, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you can do about that. It's just the other, you know, obviously the seeing all the things come out in the news about Chris D'Elia and the grooming allegations and stuff, which I use the word allegations, but pretty, yeah.
Well, they're allegations until he's been charged with anything. That's where that comes in.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to him being charged for those allegations. And then Brian Callen. And then there's just a snowball of comedians recently. And it's, you know, Sean and I have spoken about this recently. It's not a new thing. Mm. Every few years, all these things get exposed. Every few years, people openly talk about trying to stop it. And then it just kind of dies away. And I don't deal with this. I'm a dude in the scene. I deal with all the same bullshit of, you know, getting booked and this promoter and this, you know, we all deal with that. But I don't have guys, I'm not a woman. I don't have that oppressive thing going on. I don't have the things sliding into my DMs. Someone DM me a dick pic, I would appreciate it. But women don't. You know what I mean? I just like, ha.
Depends on the dick.
Depends how funny it is. Could be really funny dick.
No, I just don't do it. You know,
I just don't know how you do that. Like, unless it's been requested of you.
Exactly. That's my argument.
But yeah.
It's the unsolicited nature.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, it's really bothering me recently because I'm seeing the effect it's had on my friends over the years. People still, you guys don't. I want to make that clear. And venues like the Comedy Lounge don't either, but there are still venues that book people that really should not be around free citizens, in my opinion. I think some people need to go to the clink, but we can only do what we can do. But yeah, I think it's that God complex of comedy. It's like kind of you are the lord of the room, and I think unfortunately people get into it for that power and some, you know, not to sound like a superhero movie, but some power, with great power comes great responsibility, and some people aren't responsible or good people.
I think, comedy for me has definitely introduced me to some of the, like, best people I know and some of the worst people I know, some of the best and worst people I've ever met, because it attracts a broad variety of people, but it attracts people who obviously on some level think that what they have to say a group of people should hear. And they can be some amazing people, and they can also be some of the worst fucking people you can imagine.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I definitely think my opinion's important.
Yeah.
And then continue to just do that to a room full of people for years on end. But it's also, it's a very open market kind of system. So, you know, there's no real regulation behind it. There's no HR department. There's nothing even stopping people from, you know, if they're not getting booked somewhere, starting their own whatever. That kind of stuff, you know, there's no real way to 100% stop anything, like, which sounds fucking horrible and defeatist, but just, I think, unfortunately, the nature of comedy and the people that it attracts, like, you're always going to be trying to figure out the best way to combat the shit cunts that are going to come. Like,
yeah. But I think that's in life.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, exactly.
Like, music's pretty bad.
No industry that, you know, is just like, oh, everyone here, you know, like you said, the support worker industry, for Christ's sake, you think like, oh, those people should all be the best people in the world. Like, how are they not, you know, just amazing people? But then you just have a percentage of shitty people in every industry. Yeah. It just happens to be that this is a large percentage and there's no one to really complain to about it.
I think also for you guys, it's a, you know, how many men is there to women? What, 98 to 2?
Oh, 100.
So.
Oh, I mean, like, I agree with you. Like, no, it's 100%.
So, and at the end of the day, if, again, feel free, ladies, but if a lady, you know, that I was working with got drunk and was like inappropriately handsy with me, I would tell them to fuck off if I didn't think that was appropriate. But at the end of the day, there's no risk to me. I'm not going to get held down. There's no.
Well, the
balance of power. I'm stronger or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, I don't have to deal with what you guys deal with in that respect at all.
Well, there's also, like, sort of speaking on that, there's also that thing of like, you know, a woman doesn't have to even necessarily be as forceful as going fuck off. They can be trying to be as polite as possible and still, you know, for whatever, you know, they say there's no fury like a woman scorned. It's like, well, a lot of dudes don't take it fucking well either. Like, like, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. Oh, no, thank you, fucking bitch. Like, that kind of, like.
Yeah, you get that on Tinder a lot, but.
Yeah, that's why I've never. Tinder has never interested me at all. I was literally thinking about this earlier today that at no point have I ever wanted a Tinder account. And I just don't understand. I almost like take my hat off to anyone that has a Tinder account because it's like.
I tried.
I've shared on here before.
I'm banned from Tinder because I shared events on there.
God, that's so good.
I know, right?
Well, but the only interaction I had was with bots.
Oh, yeah.
Just from Asian, like Chinese bots, gorgeous women that didn't live in Perth. I don't know how they were contacting me anyway, but they would start off with a quote that was in reference to something I'd put in the bio.
Yeah.
And then after the second response, it was the same between all these different accounts. So then I just started fucking with them. And then I was having a lot of fun there. And I thought, I'm not just going to be on here for bots.
Yeah. What are you investing your time into?
Is this bot going to move to Perth and marry me or not? You know?
I don't know. Are you going to get her a visa?
Do you need a visa for a bot?
Probably. Yeah.
No, she might come I feel like
import it like a computer virus.
I feel like Dutton would be, he'd still want a visa for even like a virtual.
I think it probably depends where they're from. Like a virtual spouse from England, they probably go, you're all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Virtual spouse from Iran, nah.
Yeah.
We need to do some checks. Okay.
And then you might have like a $3,000 quarantine fee at the moment too. You know, have to put them up in a hotel.
Is it that high?
Wow. Yeah, that's not good. It's pretty huge. We spoke about during like last week, we were messaging each other and we said we sort of found something in common with each other. We all had something to do with possum. So
I thought
I'd bring that up because that was quite funny and random. So I think, Sian, your nickname was possum.
I think yours is the best possum story. I feel like ours are a bit more unhappy.
Yours is beautiful.
Mine was about a bite.
Mine was a bite too. That's why I thought I'd just bring it up.
You've got the only good one.
I don't know anyone else in this whole state who has been bitten by a possum. Yeah. So I was rather excited that Hayden had been.
Yeah. What are you people doing to possums? Like, what are you?
Oh yeah, tell us yours. What happened?
I was on
a
school camp and we were staying in tents, and at night the possums would bounce on the tents.
See, I can understand that because you're from Queensland originally.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Lots, it's Possumville. We're on an island, you know, the possums run riot. And this cute little possum was just sitting there with its paws up. And it was, you know, so tame. And I went over to pat it, and it put its little hands on my finger. And I thought, that's so cute. And then it just started scratching my finger and bit me. So it just shredded my finger, and I had to get a tetanus shot and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
again.
My God. Yeah.
So what's your happy story about possums?
Well, I didn't get – I've never been bitten by
one. Oh, la-di-dar over there with fucking good possum stories. Look at me. I supported Doug Stanhope. I'm friends with the possum.
Yeah, I'm queen of the possums. That's where
– Do you like possums now, Hayden?
I'm indifferent about possums. You know? Indifferent. We get
I am too.
We get along with each other. It's like the police. Like if I ever need a possum, I'll definitely call one, but I just kind of just stay out of my business now.
Yeah. Sort of like, yeah, you see one on the street, you're like, just don't come up to me.
Yeah.
Just leave me be.
Yeah, I don't care what...
I'm not up to no good, just leave me be.
I don't care what's in your pouch, don't look in my pocket.
So, Sian, your nickname's Possum. Who nicknamed you that?
My mum, ever since I've been a kid, has called me Possum. Still, like, refers to me as Possum.
Because my oldest son's nickname is Possum as well.
Why did you call him Possum?
He didn't bite me. When he was a baby, he's just cuddling to me like a possum. And I liked possums then. Yeah. Now I'm like you, indifferent.
Is that like your child?
Yeah, I was going to say, how did it change your opinion?
Like, yeah, I liked him when he was younger, he's a bit of a shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, 14. No. Yeah. Not because of that. No, but... No, for me, possum, I seen one on the road. Cuddly. And yeah, he was cuddly. But then when I got bitten, I seen one on the road. I thought, oh my God, this thing's going to get ran over. And I was in Kalamunda. And you don't see them heaps here in Perth.
No, they're not.
I thought, oh, I'll do the right thing and shoo it off the road and scare it. And then I'm trying to, some cars that are coming. And I'm trying to wave the cars down and realize I probably was a distraction, which caused two cars to hit the bloody thing.
And so wait, they hit it.
They ran it over. And so I ran out to pick this thing up because I'm traumatized by this stage, and it bit me twice on my finger. And we're lucky we've got a wildlife park near us called Kenyana. And I actually had to pry her jaws off my finger and ended up in hospital for 4 days with an infection all through my finger, plastic surgery.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So I got my tetanus shot too.
Did you kill the possum?
It died.
I like how you mentioned that. I got my tetanus shot too. You don't have to make me feel like my possum experience was like yours. That's awful.
It was awful.
I didn't
four
end up in fucking
in
hospital.
Hospital.
I got a
Band-Aid. Ended up catching a horse-borne disease thing. And I for 4 days on IV with
Holy
it. And
shit.
I couldn't move my finger. It was pretty horrific, actually.
Yeah, that's awful.
I hate hospital and hate needles, so this is not
possums.
Good.
Yeah, tetanus is not a good needle to get either. It's really
And I made them do it in the same arm, but I could feel this poison tracking on my arm. And then, I got to Royal Perth and the plastics team came to see me and they said, oh, you know, you're going to have surgery. And I'm like, no, we're not. We're going to get an IV. We're going to get some, drugs and I'm going home tonight. And the guys are laughing at me going, oh, we'll see how you go tomorrow. And I fully convinced the head surgeon that, no, this wasn't going to happen. And he said, you're just prolonging the inevitable. So I reluctantly agreed to surgery because they had to clean out a tube on the other side of my finger. I keep away from them now.
Fair enough, I think.
I was traumatized. So because it died. If it lived, I think the 4 days in hospital would have been worth it. But, it didn't. So,
Now you've just run over the possum. Is that that's what I've learned today?
Yeah, just...
Just don't stop.
Some rogue cowboy possum. How did it have a horse virus?
I think because it must have been...
Sleeping with horses?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. There's some things transferable.
Old interspecies.
Mm. Yeah, it's a rough road to go down.
Yeah.
You'd want to hope that it was a male possum.
At least be safe and wear a saddle, you know?
Because, Jesus, if that was the other way around, you've saved that possum.
Mm. Right. You're right.
Possum would have been torn apart.
Yeah, it's pretty yuck, but then that was transferable to me. So I guess it's like COVID-19. It's transferable to everything.
At least you didn't eat it.
No.
That was probably...
I didn't eat it.
Yeah.
But I imagine if that bat bit someone, it would have been transferred to them too then. So I don't know. Yuck. Anyway.
My dad got a disease from birds.
Birds. Oh.
Some sort of... He kept birds. You know.
Yeah. He bird flu?
No. It was some weird thing that... because we had all these birds, and apparently if you connect with them too much and you come in contact with the bird shit, you can, it's whatever this thing was, it was a neurological thing. And
turns
and
you crazy.
Yeah, well, I guess that didn't help with my dad, but I mean, that wasn't the cause. He was a nutter before that. But yeah, they couldn't have any more kids and stuff because they were going to have birth defects and stuff. And it was simply from this weird...
I know about it. I don't know what it's called. I know that when you're pregnant, you actually have to, they recommend keeping away from birds. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it parvo?
I could.
Yeah, it might be.
Could be. But that's dog, isn't it? Like that's dog poo, isn't parvo?
I think birds but as birds, well.
Yeah. It could be that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, clearly.
I don't know. I get all my medical advice
sorry,
from Sean.
I'm sorry I don't have all the poo Sean. Answers right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can we make an appointment for next week and I'll come back and see some if you've got the results?
Sure.
Give you a sample.
I don't need a sample. That's not a thing that needs to happen.
I'm a scat man.
Oh no. Could you guys share a joke?
Sure. Do you want to go first, Hayden?
Or? Yeah, I want to. I'm not sharing my joke. I'm going to share Jeff Hewitt's joke.
Okay.
Perth comedian. Because my jokes, I don't feel like it's going to work, but I love Hewitt. He doesn't do enough gigs and he needs to get out there more. Jeff, stop being a lawyer. But his joke was, I'm trying to swear less. I'm also trying to be less of a cunt and neither one's going very well. So I like that. And see, even Jeff's joke that I don't like doesn't work on a podcast, but I apologize, Jeff. I bastardized your material for the last time and I'm sorry.
That's not the last time.
It is. I'll steal from a better comedian next time.
Ooh. Shots fired.
Love you, Jeff. I may need your legal services soon, so please, yeah.
Oh, no.
I've been calling out dodgy people and I may need some representation.
What about yourself, Sean?
I sort of mentioned earlier, I don't really like people talking to people, like strangers on the street or anything like that. But I do like when you catch a stranger's eye and you're like on the exact same page about whatever's going on around you. I think that that's a really nice like bonding moment you have with someone. I thought I had one of those moments the other day at a shopping center. I was very wrong. I completely misjudged the situation. I was watching a mum like getting her kid back into a pram. The kid just didn't want to buy of it. Was like, nah, fuck off, I can walk. Like, just rallying against her with, like, I don't know, the 10 kilos of weight that he had. And he's like, nah. She was like, just clearly so over it. She's like, get in there now. He's like, oh, that's, she probably said that on the night of conception. That's beautiful. Just like a real.
Yeah, this sweet.
Real full circle moment for her, you know. And there's a little old lady watching along with me. And I sort of like, I looked over and I was like, like, you know, pointed to the mum. She thought I was the devil. Like, I thought she was going to laugh along with me. No, she thought I was the worst person that had ever existed.
To be fair, I mean.
Well, I don't know how she had the insight, yeah. But yeah, she's just looking at me like, how dare you laugh at the struggle of a mother? And she pointed at me and threw the harshest insult at me that I've ever had from a stranger. She's pointed at me, pointed into my middle and just went, nothing will grow there.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how to react to that.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's the middle of the day in a major shopping center in Perth. Like, what do you say to that? I was just like, joke's on you. I've killed like three.
Yeah.
So don't know what you're talking about, old lady.
She's wrong then.
Yeah,
we'll grow
there. I can grow them.
You can just you can choose to have them replanted or
yeah, that's
you know.
It.
Removed.
Yeah.
Hmm. And I support your decision.
made fertilizer for somewhere else.
And it made a, you know, you didn't give birth to a kid, but you gave birth to a good joke. And I think that's more important. Apologies to the mums out there, especially the ones in the room.
Not me.
No. It's all about choice, mate. Freedom.
That's it. Choice by name, choice by nature.
Yeah.
All right, how do people find you guys? What's some of your socials that you could share?
My Facebook page is just my name, Sean Choice.
Mm-hmm.
My Instagram, my Twitter's the same, I'm pretty sure. I think that might be an underscore maybe though.
Yep.
And my Instagram is Shanana Bread.
Shanana Bread.
Yeah, so like Sean with an extra A-N-A and then bread on the end.
As in bread.
Yeah, mm. As in, yeah.
Eating of the bread. Not you that you're bread from Shanana's. You know what
banana
I mean?
Bread's pretty good, but Hayden.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. I apologize.
What about yours, Hayden?
I can see why now you shared Jeff Hewitt's joke and not one of yours.
I know, I know.
Good move.
Sorry, everyone. No, my social media is all at Old Mate Douglas. I have a podcast called Hypermanic Noise. I've taken a few months off, but we've had, yeah, it's been great. I've had Steve Hughes on, a bunch of Perth comedians, bands, you know, a lot of heavy metal bands and rappers, Tech N9ne, Anthrax, Steel Panther, Clutch. So if you're into rock music and, yeah, I talk a lot about mental illness too. So if you're mentally ill and like rock music and rap music, you should tune on in and listen to people that are fucked as well.
It's quite a niche crowd, yeah.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Actually, yeah, no, it doesn't.
Mentally ill metal heads?
Yeah, no, I can, especially run across rap. I can see that.
It's like a bunch of fish shooting themselves in a barrel, yeah?
All right, so thank you both for today.
Thank you.
I'm going tongue-tied here. Thank you. Thanks for everyone for listening in. You're listening in on Bounce Back, and I'm Yvonne Fletcher. Next week we're joined by two magicians who actually spin comedy into their gigs. All right, see you then.